This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll have a conversation with former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear. Joining me first is Amy Vetter, owner of Drishtik Yoga, chief relationship officer with cloud accounting software provider Xero, a national speaker, and an author. Her new book is Business, Balance, and Bliss, How the B3 Method Can Transform Your Career and Life. She shares insights on how to discover and align your talents with the work you do to live a more balanced, innovative, and satisfying life. She joins us this afternoon to discuss her B3 Method, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amy, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks for having me here.
Tell us about that point you reached in your work life that led you to develop the B3 Method, when you first realized, I need to get myself balanced out here.
Yeah, I don't know if I completely realized it. I just knew something didn't feel right in my life. And I think for a lot of us, we go through life where really we have so many demands with our career and our family, and just something doesn't feel right. And we really don't know what that is. And we just keep going through the motions. And, you know, you can even look at, you know, how many people are on antidepressant medicine and so forth, without really stopping to think about, you know, what could I do to actually change this, and how do I assess myself and get to know myself again?
You were working at an accounting firm and you just had become a partner?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And something happened that made you realize all this.
Yeah. So I had worked really hard since I knew I was going to be a CPA at 12 years old, which is nerdy as that sounds. But I had worked my entire life to really work toward that day that I would be a partner in a CPA firm. And the day I became partner, I wasn't happy. And I didn't understand why I wasn't happy, because that was the pinnacle moment that I had been working toward. And even spoke to my family about it, you know, where, why aren't you happy? You've got this great family. You have this great career. You know, why aren't you happy? And so it took a lot of soul searching on my part to really step back and figure out, you know, I have so much gratitude for what's in my life, but what could I do to actually transform it so I feel fulfilled?
What was the feeling? Was it a feeling of, is this all there is?
Well, especially being 30. So I was fortunate to make partner at a young age. So 32 is fairly young to make partner in a CPA firm. And then realizing at that moment, when I had been so driven toward a goal my entire career, that once I became partner, all of a sudden I realized, what are my goals now? Is there anything else to work toward? And I felt empty instead of being really excited. And so I really had to start thinking about, well, you know, what else in my life can provide that for me? Like, why do I need my job to provide this motivation? And I just never, ever stopped to really assess myself during that process or question whether being a partner was right for me. I just kept on that path.
How difficult is it today to find that balance between life and work?
So owning a yoga studio, we have, you know, people that come in that are much like me with type A personalities. And then you've got people that are healing that, you know, have had medical issues or just looking for something else. And, you know, what I find with a lot of people is it's really hard to make that commitment to do something for yourself, where you feel like it's selfish once you become an adult to take that time for yourself, because that takes time away from the family or that takes time away from work. But what you end up finding is that you're better at work, you're better at home, if you give yourself some time to think, to do what you need to do that actually gives you some joy outside of all those things. It doesn't mean your family doesn't make you happy or work doesn't make you happy, but you do have to feed your soul, and you need to find what those things are. And that could be yoga, but that could be knitting. That could be making playlists on Spotify. Like, it doesn't have to be exercise. And I think a lot of times the word balance is overused. That's why in the book we call work-life harmony instead.
Okay. You have a preference for harmony over using the word balance. It seems like such a simple thing. It sounds like you're telling people, take up a hobby. Have something that's outside of work that's also you.
Yeah. I mean, so the reason I believe in the word harmony is because balance becomes stress. That becomes like, how do I have equal parts in my life? You know, I must go work out if I work today. And too many times that creates pressure. And then we create something in our life that is that balance in quotes. But we might have just picked an exercise regimen that doesn't really resonate with us, but we feel like we have to do it because that's the balance we chose. Instead of really doing that soul searching of the things that are authentic to you, that when you do it, time just disappears.
Why do people need this balance? What are the benefits of getting to this point?
So I think there's a lot of things that you can learn from the things that you do outside of work. But you'll read in the book, there's research even about your brain and productivity and so forth. So first of all, just with productivity, we work too much as a country, period.
Are we under more stress than we actually realize, Amy?
Well, we put more stress on ourselves. But when you look at the research of what is a productive brain, it's really 2 to 6 hours a day. So on average, Americans are working 47 hours a week, which is almost a full day longer than a full-time work week. So really, when we start working past that 6 to 8 hours in a day, we're actually not being more productive. So we've got to give our brain time to refresh. And by finding something outside of work, whatever that hobby is, actually allows your brain to start creating or being creative, thinking about things that are completely different than work. And it's amazing when you come back to work, all of a sudden you can solve problems that you weren't able to solve because you were pushing your brain against the same thing for too long.
And in this case, is it yoga? That's what does it for you? Did you find yoga or did yoga find you?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
I actually, when I originally found yoga, I didn't like it. I didn't think for someone like me it was the right thing, and I was really into boot camp, and everything was more hardcore exercise. And I didn't really understand yoga or the benefits of it. And what happened was that after my second son, I had a thyroid condition that happens out of pregnancy, and I wasn't allowed to get my heart rate up. And so the only thing I was allowed to do was yoga. And because I was slowed down and allowing myself to be open to yoga, I started understanding like the movements and what it was doing and the benefits of it. But the biggest thing that came out of it was after I was done with a yoga class, I had never felt so good. And I was such a, you know, working overtime all the time, nights, weekends. You know, after I did yoga, I was like, I don't want to ruin this feeling. It was the first time I was giving myself space. And it really started incorporating into my life, putting boundaries around when you work, when you don't work, and allowing yourself to have these moments to create space for yourself.
Were you surprised that yoga was that stress relieving for you in particular?
Yeah.
Because you describe yourself as being this type A personality.
Absolutely. So, it's an evolution, right? Like I tell people all the time, I of course started with a hardcore yoga once I got my health back, which is, you know, in the heated vinyasa classes, which the classes can be, you know, 95 degrees, 100 degrees in the room. And a lot of, you know, people that like to run and, you know, those types of exercises take that. But it took me time to start evolving and, you know, on days that I didn't want to push myself to go to a yin class and just let myself be quiet and hold poses and really be, let your mind just settle. And so, you know, as you start getting more involved, and it's really anything you do, whether it's yoga, art, you know, the types of books you read, you start evolving and wanting to learn more and, you know, get into other facets of those hobbies because it really starts to feed you.
Could you explain what yin class is, by the way?
Sure. So yin class is where you really, it's not an exercise class per se. It is so that you help create flexibility in your tissues, your joints. It's more meditative. So you hold poses for maybe 5 to 7 minutes, but supported with blocks, blankets, bolsters. And it really is there to help open up your body so that you can feel more connected to your body. But also when you're in another type of yoga class, like a vinyasa flow class, which moves with connected poses, that your body has been really attuned to those movements, that you can start feeling your body in all those classes.
And again, just to be clear, you're saying yoga will work for some people. For others, it might be other things, like you were saying, reading
sure.
a book or maybe a Tai Chi class or maybe just taking a good walk.
Yes. Yeah. And really, you know, so in the book, it's called Business Balance and Bliss, which is the B3 method. So that's what the three B's are. And the important part of why it's structured that way is so that you take these things that you do and you figure out a way to sustain them. That's the bliss. So how do I sustain this in my life? Because a lot of times, so for example,
I can think of all these people who get into exercise programs. Like you were saying, there are certain types
yeah.
of exercise. You get into it and then you say, I don't like this.
Exactly.
And you can't keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I was going to say too, you know, if you look at the statistics when people make New Year's resolutions, 80% of the people give those up by the second week of February. And it's because the New Year's, you know, day was a call to action, but it wasn't necessarily that someone did something that feeds them. So it's, you know, this is a way for you to figure out what are those different things that would be of interest to you, but then how do you sustain it? How do you incorporate it in your life? And then let it affect your work and your family as well in a positive way.
So there's some degree of introspection in the B3 method.
Absolutely. Yes.
We will continue our conversation with Amy Vetter, and you can join us 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. My guest this afternoon, local author Amy Vetter. Her new book is Business Balance and Bliss, How the B3 Method Can Transform Your Career and Life. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amy, what makes this message so particularly important right now?
I think, you know, so many people have so many distractions coming into their life on a daily basis. And, you know, a lot of times I think, you know, you can probably resonate with this is people tell me all the day, I meant to get this done today and I never got it done. And that's because we've got emails coming in. We have texts coming in. There's people asking us to do different things and we've got our family demands and we never actually get to what we want to do in the day and then feel like we didn't accomplish what we wanted. And so it's really important to feel like you did what you intended to do that day, even if it's one thing, so that you have something that's fulfilling for you that you can walk away from the day and give yourself encouragement that, you know, I did this. No one's going to clap for you at the end of the day, but it's good for you to have some positive feelings
clap
about
yourself.
Yeah.
One piece of advice that you give in the book is to set up temporary electronic walls. And
yes.
That just really hit home with me. The idea of separating yourself from your email and from your Twitter account and from Facebook and those kinds of things. What's your advice for accomplishing that? How do you do that?
So this is really important because, you know, this only increases with time. As awesome as technology is giving us, you know, this flexibility in our life to be able to do work when we want to do it, a lot of times we also aren't present with the people in our lives or the work that we want to get done that day or the things that we want to do if we're not at work because we've got so many things coming into us. So first off, it's really important to think about where your energy is during the day. So for me, I know my highest energy is in the morning and my lower energy is in the afternoon. So if I want to work out or if I want to get my own work done, then I need to hold true to that energy that is in the morning to do that, to block my calendar, that this is a non-negotiable time for me, that this is when I get my work done. And then in the afternoon, book all my meetings, you know, the times where my energy is lower so that I'm communicating with people, I'm getting things done in another way. So it's starting to be more discipline in how your day is broken up. And some people, that's 2 a.m. for them, you know. So whatever that time is for you, it's important to identify what that is so that you're not distracted and you make sure you're not taking all those phone calls and emails and everything else at those times.
Again, it sounds like it's important to know yourself.
Exactly.
That's a lot of what the B3 process is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting to know yourself better. Has lunchtime become a lost tradition? I mean, I know a lot of people who are skipping it these days.
Yes. Especially remote workers, I think. Because, you know, you appreciate the fact that you're remote and or we're so booked up with meetings throughout the day that we don't block that time and honor that time for lunch. And again, this is another time of the day. So if you don't have time before you go to work or after work to take some time for yourself, this could be that you read a book during that time, you go out and you do have lunch with people. I think human connection is so important. And if we're just interacting with people on a work basis, and then we never spend time at lunch getting to know who they are outside of work and making a true personal connection, we lose something at work. Or that may mean that you need to take a walk around the block, you know, during lunch, or that's your workout time, or whatever it is, to clear your head so that you can be back more present at work when it's time.
Clearing your head. Is that the same thing as being mindful? We talk about clearing your head.
Absolutely. Okay. But I think, so clearing your head so you can be mindful for each meeting that you have during the day. So when, you know, in many meetings, and I am guilty too of this many times, is the phone is right up on the conference table when you're in a meeting with somebody. And you start getting distracted by the emails and the texts and so forth as they're coming in. And what you need to think about is the other person. So whoever scheduled that meeting spent time preparing for that meeting with you. And when you're getting distracted by all those other things, you're actually giving them a message that what they're saying is not important and the time that they took wasn't important. So where you can change that is make sure those meetings are 25 minutes or 20 minutes instead of 30 minutes. And make sure you're completely present for the people that you're with in your workday. And then take the time to do your emails, your texts, clear your head for your next meeting so that you can be present for that one.
So for someone who's listening, who's saying that this fits them, you know, I can relate to this. That's what they're thinking, that maybe they're not happy in their career or maybe they just don't feel like they're balanced enough.
Yeah.
So what's the first thing they do? What's the first step?
Number one, don't quit your job.
Okay. Okay. That's actually
because I pertinent. Think, you know, when we go through life and things don't feel good, the minute that happens, we want
the
to
first reaction
just stop.
Is I quit.
Yeah. Like, okay. You know, something's got to feel better than this. And a lot of times, you know, as I talk about in the book, it wasn't being a CPA that was necessarily the thing that was causing me to be unfulfilled. It was that I wasn't completing my life in other ways. And then I needed to figure out for myself, being a CPA, what else could I do in the profession that would be more in line with my values? I didn't have to give up all that time I invested in my career. But again, this is a journey, and I made tons of mistakes along the way. But you learn from all of those mistakes in order to make sure that you feel more fulfilled, not only at work, at home, but with yourself.
Okay, so don't quit your job. Okay, that's the first step.
Yeah.
If you do come to the conclusion that that's what it's going to take, though,
yes.
How much courage does it take to make a career shift like that?
Yeah, it takes a huge amount of courage. And that may be the answer for you, right? But at least go on the journey. So I would say it's really important that you take some time and go back and think about the things as a child that you loved to do, that time just disappeared, that you gave up when your career began. And then think about how could you incorporate some of those things back into your life again? And do an actual goals plan so you stick with it. So on my website, there's a smart goal sheet you can download that will help you in putting these personal goals together. But try something for 30 days. Don't give up. But every day, you know, just write in how it's making you feel, what you're frustrated. Don't quit. And then at the end of 30 days, make that assessment. And the bliss piece of this is, do I need to try a different thing because this wasn't the right thing for me? Or how do I incorporate this in my daily life and make sure it becomes a habit? And start feeling what that feels like. Make one adjustment at a time and then start figuring out holistically, you know, how do I feel right now and is it worth it to quit my career and start something else?
Yeah. And what's your website, Amy?
It's amyvetter.com.
Okay.
Yeah,
very we have a link to that, wvxu.org. Okay, so you can get started there. So after you take that first initial step, mm-hmm. you talk about this as being a journey, not a destination.
Yes.
Where do you head from there?
Yeah, so I would say what's really important is that you start – I know for me, what started happening was, you know, using yoga still as the example in this case – I was talking about that to people at work, and then they started opening up about things that they did, and we started becoming more human together.
Huh.
And okay. also, by leading by example, it shows the people you work with that you think it's important for them to start doing it. So I think it's really whatever it is for them. I mean, not that, you know, I force yoga on people, but, you know, whatever
right,
that is.
Right, for everybody, it's going to be something different that works for them.
Yeah. And so it's important that in your workplace, you figure out a way to incorporate it in so that people feel happier at work and that they've got that time to fulfill the things in their life and feel more balanced at work.
Now, other than your book, obviously this is a resource. What
yes.
are some other resources? What kind of things did you turn to when you were going through all this?
I read a number of books at the time. You know, while I was going through this process, one of my favorite authors is Elizabeth Gilbert. I think she's fantastic. And really, I had read her book, Eat, Pray, and Love, but there's also a book that she wrote just recently called Big Magic. And it's all about how to use your creativity and feel about it. So, you know, that's a great book as well. A yoga book that I read many, many times, we also incorporated into our teacher training. It's called The Four Agreements. It's a real simple book. Probably when you read it, it's simple messages. But it's really important things that of just self-reflection of in your daily life, you know, how you can better impact the people around you. And so it's just taking that time to really take time about yourself. You know, I know during that time period, you know, because you start your career, you know, in early 20s, in your head, you're kind of still there a lot of times and thinking the way you did at that time until you actually stop and go, wait, my life has changed. I've changed. You know, what are the things that I can acknowledge about myself and really bring forward as this is who I am now?
Of the folks you've seen who've taken up this method, the B3
yes.
method, how are they doing with it? How's it helping them?
I'm getting the greatest feedback from people, and it's, you know, it's really been fun to hear what has come up for people. Just recently at a conference I was speaking at, one of the gentlemen that was sitting listening to the talk came up to me afterward and said, I used to love to color as a kid. I'm going to go back to coloring. And I thought that was so awesome. That was like the last thing I ever thought, you know, when he came up to me to introduce himself that was going to. But again, it's that moment of self-reflection. And in the book, we do a lot of brainstorming, you know, pages so that you can, as you're reading stories about other people in the book besides myself, you know, there's people that play video games, that dance, that do all sorts of other types of activities that they, you know, have helped them incorporate into their life. But what comes up for you, you know, be taking notes so that at the end of it, you can figure out, you know, where you want to start.
How about meditation? Is that something that, that works for a lot of people?
So, you know, I have to be honest, I've always been someone that struggled with meditation. And there's so many different ways to meditate. And there's apps out there on your phone to help you, or there's timers you can set on your phone so that you don't open your eyes and keep looking at the clock while it's happening. But in the book, I talk about just even a 2-minute meditation. If you set a timer on your phone, so if you give yourself time between meetings, so 5-10 minutes between a meeting to reset yourself, answer your emails, and then just close your eyes for 2 minutes, set your timer so you're not looking. It's amazing how much your nervous system settles and you can kind of reappear. So meditation can seem like this huge, big thing, and it really can be simple things you start incorporating into your life that will just help you to calm down throughout the day.
Taking a few deep breaths at some point.
believe it or not, you know, remembering to breathe is...
It's a big one.
Yes, it's huge.
Amy, thank you so much for joining me today. Amy Vetter, her new book is Business, Balance, and Bliss, How the B3 Method Can Transform Your Career and Life. Coming up, People Over Politics, we'll talk with former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear about his new book. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.